Welcome back. It's Wednesday, hour two. William Gein is off this week, by the way, if you were looking for William. He's taking some time to do some things. Okay, it's Jeff and Erica time. We're going to do our best to bring more information toward you to think about, to consider, to help make your way through this this blinding morass of bioweapon death, agony, and suffering. And that's what it is. People are not well. And you, when you go out to the store or whatever, be careful. Shedding is more than real. Secondary shedding is also real. The smells story continues to germinate. More and more people feel they're smelling something, and that's not fun. So we're tracking all this, and there are many things, as you know, if you listen to our programs, go back and please do re-listen to some of them. They're very important. Share them. There are people out there who will listen to this program and others, and they actually hear what they want to hear, and if they don't hear what they want, they'll make it up in their memory. We're running into that. It's a very strange kind of a thing. People, again, don't want to be pushed too far out of their comfort zone. When they have some little motif that seems to answer the questions and take the pressure off, well, they'll fight to defend it. Never mind if it's just ludicrous. I mean, you know how we feel about a certain chiropractor who is claiming there's snake venom in the bioweapon. No, there's not snake venom in there. There are two peptides, two or three. The most important thing about the spike protein that is manufactured by your body once you've been shed upon and or vaxxed is to understand that this is an incredibly sophisticated and deadly thing. It's not a joke. This is, in fact, I had a story last night. God, how are you doing there, young lady? I should say hello. I forgot.
Oh, I'm good. I was enjoying listening.
I ran a story last night, and it was something like the top seven big pharma inventions, creations, the deadliest top seven big pharma creations. And number one was the spike protein. So whoever put that together, you know, has his or her head screwed on properly. There are people out there who are heroically trying to bring reality to those who have embraced some kind of cuckoo science fiction version of the world we live in, and they're promulgating it every chance they get, telling everyone, oh my goodness, there's snake venom in this, there are no viruses, and on and on and on. It's these are the tools to open the door of chaos, and that's all they do. They're crazy. Well, we have much to offer all of you by way of these programs. They're for you. That's why we do them. So please use them. Learn from them. They may not be absolutely correct, but that's not the point. The point is it's the best panoramic view of something that is not only unimaginable for people, but unbelievable for people, that they would create something so diabolical that they have successfully injected into 7 billion people now about, that may end up killing most of those people. At the very least, the evidence points to a much shorter lifespan than otherwise people would have enjoyed after they've been injected. And now we're seeing that after they've been shed upon, there's a threshold here. You get shed upon the way it looks to us. You got a threshold. You get shed upon, you know, overt, obvious changes. And then all of a sudden, you're different. And we think there's a threshold. That's the best guess we can come up with at this time. All right, we're going to do something in a minute here. Anything you want to add there? There's a lot. I just kind of rambled, but go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It does seem as though you can slowly and silently accumulate spike protein
plasmids,
over a period of time,
and
not necessarily be aware of it, not have any outward symptoms, noticeable symptoms, until one day you hit that threshold, and then you're just debilitated. You know, it seems to go into the body like any toxin and then end up in, it probably has its favorite organs and tissues, and then bind to those, well, various receptors. It can attach to at least 20 different receptors mm-hmm. yeah. throughout the body. It isn't just limited to ACE2. I mean, that's the main one. But these recent variants have developed some affinity for other receptors. So I think it can just slowly accumulate in various organs and tissues, probably not the least of which is the blood vessels, causing some inflammation there and to the point of where the endothelium is damaged and begins to slough off, and that's when you begin to see these amyloid-type clots. Most of what's in those clots is shedded material from the endothelium.
Right.
And I thought, yes. I think people are largely unaware of this. I can't tell you how many stories I've seen where somebody just wakes up one day and has a massive clot, maybe more than one, and, you know, to the point where it needs to be surgically removed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, a rather visible, we'll use the word advisedly, a visible manifestation of this death shot, a clot. That's what you can see. What about the microclotting you can't see? What about the misfolded proteins that are taking up residence in your brain, if not being actually misfolded in your brain, called prions? But there are just dozens of things that this horror can unleash on the human body. All right, now, this is an interesting little interaction, and it involves a mother and a daughter. And I think this will be, we're not going to use names here. This is highly instructional and to give you an idea of how this whole abhorrent, despicable LGBTQ plus thing, the tranny thing, is gaining traction. And all you have to do, again, when you see a video of one of these pride parades, rule one, there would be no pride parade if there were no people flocking to watch him. Number two, when you look at the parade, don't even bother looking at the contestants. That's not the message. The message, as I have said, is the number of people watching, who they are, how they're reacting. Most of them are mothers with little children, and they're cheering and applauding and reaching out to touch some of the bicyclists who in Seattle were riding around utterly nude, and their little children are seeing this. Talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids. They're being changed for life. And these parents are so stupid, they can't understand that. A child cannot unsee something like that, let alone an adult. They can't. These kids are really mentally being abused terribly by taking him to these events. That's not normalcy. And some of you might say, well, it will be soon enough. And maybe you have a point. I don't know. But it's not going to be my normalcy. I believe in childhood. I believe in children. I believe in innocence and fun. I don't like to see that destroyed and taken away. And that's what this whole woke thing is about. It's a war on children. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. All right, you want to set this up? And it's rather a short read. This is
this was a post of someone I'm friends with, local person on Facebook, and a lot of these people I've drifted apart from, but I still have their friendships on Facebook, so to speak, so I do see what they're up to, and I was rather shocked when I saw this, although I shouldn't be. This was someone that was expressing their dismay at how or the response that they received when they gave a thumbs down to people in the community who were objecting to having one of these drag queen reading hours at the local library. And she was just indignant that why aren't more people in support of this type of thing? And then her own mother got involved and said, we'll read it. But suffice to say, the mother was then attacked by, everybody that was in support of her daughter. It's just shocking to see.
Shredded, yeah.
Yeah, really. It's the number of people that see nothing wrong with this is really astonishing, really frightening.
Well, they're along the parade routes, every one of them. They're right there.
Do they not understand that this is just part of an indoctrination to, you know, introduce their children to things like sodomy? Do they not understand that? Or is that okay?
It's actually even worse than that. It's beyond sodomy. It's pedophilia and lifelong instantaneous destruction of a child's psyche. They will never be the same. All right, here's the here's the post by the daughter. We're not going to use names. And she's furious about this, apparently. And she writes, gave a thumbs down to all the losers at the such-and-such library protesting the drag queen reading to kids at story time. What are you so threatened by? That they are prettier and classier than you? Talking about these dragsters. And the mother steps in and simply states, your mother totally disagrees with you. And then here come the friends of the original poster. And they say, that's unfortunate. Glad the poster has her priorities right. The one who's thumbs down at people protesting the drag queen event. And another one says, glad to see you. This is glad to see you raised your daughter to be a decent person. This is what the guy, some male said that to the mother, facetiously. Glad to see you raised your daughter to be a decent person, i.e. to support drag queens, pedophilia, sexual perversion, deviance, and the destruction of children and childhood. Someone else adds, telling the mother, they're all directed toward the mother, who said, your mother totally disagrees with you. Good job raising a daughter who is confident in her own convictions. This is very worrisome. It should be. And the mother gets hit again. What exactly, says the daughter, do you disagree with? And the mother says, it's much more complicated than you realize. A real discussion is in order. And someone else adds to the mother, your daughter is a grown woman who realizes a lot and raised a great kid. I think she'll be just fine. And there's an addition to that one from another person. I agree with you. 6 exclamation points. I'll take this child over child beauty pageants every day. Well, I'm not in favor of child beauty pageants. They're horrible. They're exploitive. I understand that. But that's not to say drag queen story hour is somehow more beneficial for children. It's crazy. These people have lost sight of evil.
Mm-hmm.
One last post to this. We need a counter protest. Yeah, right. So what's the lesson here? The lesson here is an unfortunate number of people, at least in this post, this thread, are obviously aligned with the whole drag queen LGBTQ plus destruction of childhood. They can't see it, they don't want to see it, or they think somehow it's okay. It's not okay. So this is the cutting edge of the new movement to underwrite and underscore and underpin this whole tranny gender affirmation crap, and then naked adults riding bicycles coming right up to your little 3- and 4-year-old children that you put right there on the street next to them, and you're making them watch. That is child abuse. That is horrible child abuse. And if I sound like a prude, fine, go listen to another program. If we don't protect our children, Well, first of all, we're not going to have many children anymore, as you know, if you've been listening. But if we don't protect the good ones we have, the healthy ones we have, it's this whole civilization is done. We're done. We don't successfully procreate, we're done. And if we procreate and destroy our children mentally, emotionally, psychologically, morally, and every other way you can think, we're done. It's over. Finished.
Yeah, it is.
That was a horrible display.
Yeah, and there was quite a few more. I just, you know, I gave you a smattering of what was said, but you know, 50-odd comments, and they were all in support of drag queen reading hour. Nothing wrong with it.
Unreal.
I know.
Yeah. The daughter says
I'm
again.
I'm speechless. I don't even know, yeah. You know.
I'm going to read this again. The daughter started this off by saying, I gave a thumbs down to all the losers at the blank library protesting the drag queens reading to kids at story time. What are you so threatened by? That they are prettier and classier than you? Well, the day a drag queen is prettier than classier than a normal heterosexual female, that'll be another sign that the end is here. That's not pretty.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Not classy. It's the face of evil. All right. That's our little sermon here at the top. Jeez. Quickie, what's the deal with this? I didn't hear about it until we talked earlier. We're getting mosquito-borne malaria in Florida and Texas?
Yeah, that's the latest plague. Apparently there are 5 reported cases in, I think it's just Florida at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't been a, you know, naturally occurring case of malaria in 20 years, apparently. But all of a sudden we have 5 cases.
And who was it, Gates, that was releasing 20 million GM mosquitoes every week?
Mm-hmm.
Every week? And there was one, I think it was a South American country, every week, and I think they were also releasing them in Florida. So figure it out. Come on, where there's smoke, there's fire. Jeez.
In Florida and Texas, of all places.
Yeah.
How about that?
There's another thing that Erica was first to talk about and is still talking about it, and that's the issue of iron and hemoglobin making the red blood cells and what's happening to those red blood cells. It strips off the iron, turns it loose solo fashion, and also the heme solo fashion. There's a link here to the Titanic, which is kind of interesting. A newly discovered species of rust-eating bacterium found on the Titanic's wreckage has been named Halomonas titanicae, which has been found to cause the rapid decay of the iron structure of the wreck. Henrietta Mann, who discovered the bacteria, has estimated that the Titanic will completely collapse, possibly as soon as 2025. Analysis by Mann and someone else, both of Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in conjunction with other scientists and researchers of the University of Seville in Spain, has determined that the wreck of the Titanic will not exist by 2037 and that preservation of Titanic is impossible at this point. Unfortunately, because Titanic is 2.3 miles down, it is very difficult or impossible to preserve. It is film which will do the preservation of the Titanic for history at this point. It has already lasted for 100 years, but eventually will be nothing left of it but a rusty stain on the bottom of the Atlantic. I think the Titanic has maybe 15 or 20 years left. I don't think it will have too much longer than that. Okay. So what's the link here? Bacteria eating iron. Rusty iron, but iron.
Yeah. Well, as we've been saying, there are species of bacteria that flourish with iron. Most all bacteria will eat iron, but the pathogenic ones like it a lot. So when you have a lot of free iron floating in the blood, that's a setup for infection. And if it's bad enough, it can turn into sepsis. But that's just an example of bacteria actually eating a metal. Iron. I mean, to the point where it can actually decompose that structure. That's amazing.
That is amazing. All right. Last note I have here. I don't think we got to this. Did we get to the Marburg virus already declared a public health emergency?
We did mention that a couple weeks ago, and that was brought to us courtesy of Sasha Latipova. It was actually declared a public health emergency back in November of 2020. And there is a link to the government website stating exactly that. So that's a card that they can play at any time. They have some of the countermeasures available, apparently, already.
They have a whole deck full of cards they can play. He's got this thing so wired, it's not funny. All right.
And now, what did we see? This cats dying in Poland now?
Yeah, I sent that over earlier.
Yeah. So it's similar to what was going on in the UK. I think it was it 2021 or 2022?
I think 22.
Shortly after the rollout of the vax, they had an epidemic of cats that were getting sick rapidly and dying, and they couldn't figure out why. And ultimately, they blamed it on tainted pet food. And then the story went quiet. Well, a similar thing seems to be happening in Poland right now. And they're saying that 9 out of the 11 cats tested have H5N1, bird flu.
All right. The alarm bells should be going off, or at least red lights should be coming on. H5N1 is supposedly a species-bound virus for the most part. It just doesn't jump species, unless it's been tweaked or unless something else has happened. But it's now jumping to cats, apparently, in Poland.
Well, we don't know what these Polish people, these households, might have been vaxxed with. Maybe there's a flu vaccine that they recently took. That is shedding onto these cats. And how are they testing these cats? Is it the good old PCR test again?
Are the cats, what's the fatality rate? I didn't remember. I just sent it over real quick.
I don't know. There's just an epidemic of dying cats and nothing, no interventions that they've done have been effective at saving these cats. And that's virtually the same thing that happened in England.
The case fatality rate in bird flu in humans is supposed to be 60%, I believe. I think I'm remembering right. That's a projection. But that's how deadly they think it's going to be if it breaks out in people. We'll have to see. All right. Well, that's a good note to put out there.
Well, let's put it this way. They're not saying that the cats have bird flu. They're testing them for bird flu, and they're positive.
Mm-hmm.
So that, which means if they're using a PCR test, they're finding a short segment of nucleotides that is common to bird flu.
Right.
But are they actually sick with bird flu?
Well, they can't figure out what they are sick with, so it's a
I think they can.
The best guess, unless they're keeping mom on the deal. Hard to say.
These animals, people's pets are really suffering from the fallout of this so-called coronavirus vaccine.
Dogs and cats.
Yeah, yes. Dogs and cats. Poison is a poison is a poison, and then these animals are every bit as susceptible as people are to whatever is being shed.
Let's do this. Next, this sad to say, the EDTA, MMS, CDS has grown legs, and it's now fairly firmly established in the alt news field as a treatment for spike, which causes tremendous oxidative stress in the body, inflammation on its own. And when you drink bleach, well, you go ahead. Tell them.
Well, it has its place. You know, the CDS, MMS, otherwise known as chlorine dioxide or miracle mineral supplement, is a very powerful disinfectant and a very powerful antimicrobial. It can be effective for disinfecting wounds, disinfecting surfaces, and in some cases, ameliorating stomach flu or whatever, bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe that it's a good prophylactic against spike, and it has been shown to denature the spike protein. That's one thing that chlorine dioxide will do. But I think people need to be mindful that it can have a very deleterious effect on red blood cells, particularly when the antioxidants, glutathione catalase, that are in red blood cells to protect them from oxidation, become depleted. And in which case, you can end up with hemolytic anemia, and in extreme cases, that can go on to kidney failure. I think there's better remedies for dealing with spike than drinking CDS every day. I mean, one of the things with chlorine is that it will disrupt the microbiome if you do it chronically. There are microbes in your gut that are obligate anaerobes, which means oxygen kills them. Some of those are the bifidobacteria, which mm-hmm. produce
first
butyrate, which people are just, they are depleted of butyrate. And when you're depleted of butyrate is a short-chain fatty acid that is produced by the bacteria that live in your intestines, and it has a number of functions that relate to your immune system. And so being depleted of butyrate-producing bacteria has massive consequences. And I think that's one of the reasons now why we're seeing an explosion in colon cancer. So I would just tread carefully with CDS. It can be useful for infection, but I mean, I've seen people drinking this every hour throughout the day, believing that they were getting some protection from it.
Every hour?
Yes, there is a protocol that has people drinking just a little bit every hour.
Mm-hmm.
It did not prevent them from being poisoned with spike. One woman went on to develop blood clots that needed surgery. There was another one, I remember this distinctly, she was working at a hot spring and dealing with vaxxed clients, probably working around vaxxed people, that was doing that protocol, and she ended up with a clot, one of these long, stringy amyloid clots. Despite what people are saying, that you know, this is the what are they calling it? The universal antidote? No. Be very careful with that. I mean, it's an oxidizer, and one of the hallmarks of this bioweapon illness is oxidative stress in very, very high amounts, and people are becoming depleted of their endogenous antioxidants, meaning glutathione, catalase, SOD, superoxide dismutase. They can't recycle them, partially because they're depleted of NAD and NADPH. You need those to recycle your glutathione. So you're getting into a state where you already have plenty of oxidative stress. And now you're, by swilling this stuff regularly,
you're doubling down on it.
You're further depleting your antioxidant defenses. And that will have consequences. Another
well
thing
said.
To be mindful of is that chlorine, if you are deficient in iodine, will harm your thyroid. Chlorine and iodine are both halogens, and if iodine is not available, the thyroid will uptake chlorine, but it can't do much with it in terms of making thyroid hormone. And people have toxified themselves just with chlorine, chlorinated water, swimming mm-hmm. swimming in chlorinated pools.
Yeah, it goes right through your skin. Think about it.
Right,
it does.
Yeah. There's other ways of getting oxygen into the body. So some thought is required, some discretion. I mean, it's a a viable treatment in certain circumstances, but I just wouldn't be that casual with it.
Let me suggest...
And the EDTA, we're already seeing people now having issues with the EDTA that's being rather indiscriminately
we've
promoted.
You've got some readers put together on that. Just a note, Oxy-C, our supplement that we have on the site, is a very, very well proven. It's over 100 years old since it was originally formulated. It's a very well proven, gentle way to oxygenate your blood without going
into... That one is magnesium and ozone, magnesium bonded to ozone.
Correct.
It doesn't have the problem of chlorine.
Nope. No, exactly. So that's a real winner. So is, of course, Allison C. Those are two giants. And the other giant, there are three, is Bio Superfood. This is an unsolicited moment where I'm going to just talk to you about Bio Superfood. That product may be the most important nutritional supplement ever. It has at least 15,000 plus different nutrients that your body otherwise may never see, depending on your diet. So if you want to get well, if you want to become stronger immunologically, do you remember Oxy-C, Allison-C, and BSF, or Bio Superfood? We're going to be spending more time talking about Bio Superfood. That is so important. It's a little tiny green capsule composed of the four most potent, nutritionally speaking, algaes in the world. And it's a wonderful product. All right, we've got a little bit of EDTA stuff here. More and more people are picking up the EDTA banner and waving it around and blowing the horn, and this is it. This is the ultimate in antidotes. No, it's a double-edged sword. All right.
Do you want to get into that or just let that go?
We have spoken
about this before. I predicted what's happening right now.
Yes, you did. Do you want to do these readers? They're short. Or just drop that?
Oh, we could do them.
All right.
We could just speak on the topic of EDTA, because this isn't the only case I've heard or read about people having issues with it. I'll just say that EDTA is a chemical chelator. It was designed for lead poisoning. It does a very good job of chelating lead. The problem with EDTA is that it will also bind to mercury. And if you are mercury toxic or you're having any kind of issues dealing with heavy metals,
so it can mobilize,
and I think a lot of people are,
in your body, right?
Everybody has a certain burden of heavy metals. It's unavoidable. But when you're healthy and your detox pathways are working, mm-hmm. specifically glutathione, you can keep up with the daily onslaught. When you're sick and depleted, that's not a time to be chelating heavy metals. And that's exactly what's being promoted here. Now there's two or three people out there pushing this stuff. And I said 2 or 3 months ago that there's going to be issues. What EDTA will do, you're mobilizing heavy metals without adequately determining whether your detox pathways can support the elimination of those metals. EDTA and these other ones, DMSA, DMPF, are very, very dangerous because they will typically mobilize metals and circulate them throughout the body and send them out to the kidney. They're water soluble. And quite often they'll sit in the kidney waiting to be eliminated and then drop the metal. And so somebody using EDTA who has a heavy burden of mercury or many others as well, what will happen is that this EDTA will pick up those metals before it picks up lead. And then when it encounters lead, it drops the other metal in favor of the lead. So the mercury that got picked up by the EDTA is now free and floating and doing lots of damage.
Right. All right. Very good. We could do these little shorts or just save them. Daughter dating a vaxxed man. And here's a parent worried about the daughter dating a vaxxed man. And we've got more smells, shedding. Shedding is real. We've got a bunch of those. We probably should. You want to do daughter is dating a vaxxed man?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. First poster writes, "Hi, I just need some advice, please. My daughter," this is the father talking, "is hanging around with a triple jabbed guy. I've tried my hardest to stop it and inform her of all the risks she is taking, but I'm having no luck. Does she need to do anything to maybe protect the other people in my house?" His daughter, he's figuring, is picking up Spike, and he's worried about, she lives in the house, her shedding on other household members, as he should. This guy's smart. And the response is, go ahead, you pick it up from here. I want to watch this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First comment, all need to go for daily detoxing procedures for at least a few years. In the search bar, you can find many. Also, my go-to is Cilicia 30CH/CC. Mm-hmm. 5 pills daily in the morning. That's a homeopathic. The bottle which says made in Germany. Homeopathy only, please, as it has different concoction and original homeopathy.
The homeopathy card is being played more and more. It's not a major trend yet, but it is out there. And that's a tough call. I don't know.
Well, you know, if somebody is getting results, it's hard to argue with that.
That's the point.
And that's just probably the best we have right now.
Right. All right, the next comment on this thread, I agree with Awaken Earth, who Erica just read. I will also add that secondhand shedding is real and can make you sick. Everyone in the family should, after being around the vaxxed, shower immediately when arriving home. So you come home from work where you're surrounded by vaxxed people, or you've been out shopping all day, whatever. Take a shower. That's what this person's suggesting. Put the clothes in a tote until time to wash them. Minimize contamination. The longer shedding is on the skin and hair, the sicker people get. I am not sure what risks you told your daughter. I know she could end up vaxxed sexually. And we've talked about that a lot lately. Internal infections. And one testimony a girl has had her period for 2 years. Straight. Nonstop. One testimony. A girl has had her period for 2 years. The body is trying to flush out the toxins. Go ahead.
Let's see.
The third one.
Well, I've told her everything and showed her videos and got her stuff to read. Told her how serious it is, etc. But still no joy.
Just keep in mind, every time the daughter has sexual relations with this guy, she is being injected with, in all likelihood, he's triple jabbed, Spike. Maybe only Spike. We don't know, but a lot of Spike. So she's uptaking that into her body, and she's in trouble. She may not know it yet, but it's going to show up. She's getting dosed with Spike, passively infected, injected, and vaxxed. All right. Next one, what do you want to do? Shedding real, smells, secondary shedding?
How about POTS?
POTS is fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hi there. Does anyone know anything about POTS as a vax injury? POTS is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. It's a dysregulation of your autonomic nervous system. So all the things that can control breathing,
routine,
heart rate, temperature.
Heart rate, all of that respiratory function is now being impinged upon.
And yes, this we hear about this a lot now. She goes on to say, my friend's daughter, age late 20s, had stroke-like symptoms two nights ago. Slurred speech, weak down her right side, blurry in one eye. Went to the hospital and had tests done, but doesn't have a brain bleed. Her heart rate is 70 when lying down and 140 when standing. She is 11 weeks pregnant, had healthy pregnancy previously. She's double jabbed. I read somewhere about POTS. I know nothing about it, but I'm wondering if anyone knows what it could be. They released her saying it could be neurological and have given no further support. Well, I actually gave a response to that.
Go ahead, read it.
POTS is a common injury following the COVID jabs. It is the result of damaged endothelium being unable to respond to signaling to and from the brainstem, which controls blood pressure and heart rate. An endothelial function test will show the degree of impairment. Microclots resulting from the damaged endothelium are also impeding oxygen delivery to the brain and nervous system, which can result in neurological symptoms. These microclots are too small to be seen on imaging. A D-dimer or a thromboelastogram, TEG, is needed.
See, look, here's the big problem, dear friends. Most people, including yours truly, I didn't know much of the intricacies of how the human body worked. Most people know nothing. They can't even find their kidneys if you ask them. That's pretty bad. So you have an autonomic nervous system. Comes out of the brain stem, which controls your respiration, your heart rate, tells your heart to beat, etc. When the spike protein, which just loves neurology, gets into that area, and it'll go everywhere the blood goes, you begin to suffer disruption. And POTS is one of those types of interference. It's messing with your autonomic nervous system. Tachycardia. This is just one of the dozens of things this nightmare from hell injection can leave people with. So we're getting more and more reports of people just falling. EMT reports. Those of you who are monitoring your local EMTs, what is it, broadcastify.com?
Yeah, Broadcastify, yeah.
You can monitor your EMTs and see what they're being called out on. You'll hear a lot of falls. And these people,
they're not tripping.
They're not tripping.
They're just dropping.
Going down.
Yeah.
Right. So
you know, the last week or so, I'm astounded at the number of psychiatric calls they're getting, people having, meltdowns, suicidal ideation.
Problems are showing up more and more. That's the point here. And you called it some time ago. More psychological, psycho-emotional issues now popping up.
It's all of a sudden in the last week or two, a noticeable increase in those calls.
Seems like a trend.
Well, I imagine that this is, whatever degeneration is happening has now moved into the brain or enough of the brain where you're going to see more of this.
Yes, unfortunately. What is it about the nerves, the neurology, your entire neurostructure in the body? What is it about neurology that Spike seems to really have a special affinity for?
I think it may be twofold. I think the nerves are being deprived of an oxygen supply intermittently. And I think they're being damaged with this chronic ischemia reperfusion that's happening at the level of the capillary. And then the spike itself can attach to various receptors on nerve cells.
Right. It just seems to like...
And it's not just the nicotinic acetylcholine receptor. It's the neuropilin-1, which is... I mean, this is throughout the body.
And you just said nicotine. Nicotine is being now pushed by a lot of people as one of the great antidotes out there. And we've been very clear about this from the beginning. Nicotine is not the modality you want to pursue. It's nicotine acid.
It's being touted as protective, as if it's going to outcompete the spike protein, mm-hmm. the venom in the spike protein, what's being pushed around. We've already determined that it doesn't do that. There's plenty of smokers out there right now that are down and out with spike poisoning.
Yep.
So the nicotine
swimming
did nothing
spike.
To protect them. And don't forget, nicotine is a vasoconstrictor. It will narrow your blood vessels. It also will thicken the blood. And it
just
also upregulates the expression of ACE2, which is one of the main receptors for spike.
Mm-hmm.
So nicotine is not your friend here. It's the nicotinic acid, i.e. niacin, that has the beneficial effects. That's what you want, and that's really what's missing from just about every so-called recovery protocol out there.
No, it's being hands off. No. No one's talking about it.
Mm.
Not the wellness company, not anybody.
No, it's really astounding.
It is. We just have about 3 minutes. What do you want to jump to? How long? Smells?
How about is secondary shedding?
Got it. Okay. As someone asks, is secondary shedding real? I've already been greatly impacted by direct shedding from a boosted relative causing reactivated EBV, Epstein-Barr, and autoimmune encephalitis last year. Now, after our son has been out hanging out with friends, he comes home really fatigued, and my husband and I are also feeling the fatigue. I'm guessing his friends are getting boosters this summer before heading off to college. Is secondary shedding real? Go ahead.
Yes, secondary shedding is real. In our house, we shower when we've been out in public. Any shedding left on your skin and hair will make you sick. My husband would come home from work, and as soon as he walked in, I would have shortness of breath. Changing his clothes did not help. He showers right away.
Well, see, it's very easy for most people not to want to hear this. Not to want to interact with it, not to want to process it, even if they can process it. They don't want to hear about it. I understand that. We get that. There's too much stress out there. These poor people are, if they're even partly informed, are beaten up. It's PTSD time. It's too much to fear. This whole thing has been predicated on fear anyhow. So secondary shedding is a problem. How much of a problem? We don't know, but it's a problem. We're getting more and more anecdotal stories about this all the time.
Yeah.
So wherever you go, whatever you're doing, if you're out and about, if you have someone at home you care about, wouldn't be a bad idea to take a shower when you come in. Take 5 minutes.
Yeah, because it does. It clings to clothing, skin, hair.
Well, I take a shower once a month, whether I need it or not. I'm doing the right thing. So, look, the best cure is prevention. Always has been. Just don't expose yourself to these people as much as you can. And you who are vaxxed are already fighting things. And many of you, God bless every one of you, are fighting things that you may not even know yet. And your doctor is about the last person you'll want to go to try to find out. Death
no,
by
no,
medicine
that's hopeless.
Is number two cause of death in America. I think it's number one, ultimately. So you have to do your own research. You have to do your own homework, you can't expect people to give it to you if you go in and pay $100 a visit or $200 a visit, whatever it is. I don't even know. But doctors are, and you've got a lot of doctors listening right now, I'm sure. You people know. You don't know. You people know that you don't know the answers to most of the questions you're going to get asked by someone who has been vaxxed damaged. All right. Anything to add to that, partner? Great job.
No, that should do it.
Okay. We shall return on Friday and bring you more information with which you can hopefully use to make better decisions. And these are common sense things. All right. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Back in a minute with Hour 3, going live to Donetsk and Russell Bentley. Next hour, right in the middle of it. Stay right there.